Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Tonight we continue our study from the book of 1 John. We're in the fourth chapter, the final two verses, verses 20 and 21. The fourth chapter of 1 John, the Holy Spirit has had John writing very efficiently and effectively and abundantly on that great and marvelous Christian characteristic of love. The love that God has for us, the love that we're to have in return unto Him, and of course, loving God, we are to show love one toward the other. Verse 20 teaches us, if a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. It's the very height of inconsistency for one to claim that he has love for God and still at the same time harbor in his heart a hatred and hostility toward another person. One of the characteristics of Christians, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for the other. Christian people especially are to love each other. But Christian people not only love each other, they love those who are not Christians. Now let me ask you this. Do you think that there is such a thing as degrees of love? We say we're to love a Christian. We're to love a non-Christian, we're to love our enemy, we're to love our children, we're to love God. Are there different levels, different degrees of love? Brother Byers is shaking his head in the affirmative, so we'll just ask him to. Well, now, you've got 19 more than I've heard about, but that's okay, maybe you're right. You mean to tell me then you'll love your child in a way that's different? I don't blame you. Boy, that's the same thing, same way through. That's exactly right. That's the way to put it. And why is that? Well, our relationship is different. Our responsibilities are different. Our association is different. Now, we are to love God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength, aren't we? And what he's teaching here is when we love God, we will love that other person. We will seek that other person's highest good. We'll seek the good for our mate. We'll seek what's good for our children, we'll seek what's good for our brethren. We'll seek what's good for our enemy. We'll seek what's good for our friend. But there'll be different relationships. Will be different manifestations of those kinds of expressions of love. So we don't love everybody just alike. I hear sometimes, I've heard it said at funerals about people, and I know it's not so, but I think I know what they mean. He loved everybody just alike. Well, now, if I'd been his wife, I'd have knocked his head off, go up and turn that casket over and say, you rascal, you will bear you face down. No, you don't love everybody just alike. Nor should you love everybody just alike. Because of the differences that we have said. But the commandment is, you love God, you will love others. Now, that's a Christian trait. Wouldn't it be marvelous? Wouldn't it be a revolution? Wouldn't it change our world if we all could begin to practice just exactly that? You know, the golden rule, in paraphrasing, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Brother Mason, to do that would be the practice of what we're talking about here, would it not? What would I like for that person to do toward me if circumstances were reversed? Now, this will help us to create, sustain, maintain right relationships with other people. Isn't that true? All right. Any other comment on these final two verses? Regardless, that's a good thing. Regardless of what they do to you, you should love them. Up or down, right or wrong. What about it, Brother Watts? Yeah, they sure said that'd burn them up, won't it? That'd burn them up. He pulled the fire on their head. Yeah, when they were stoning Stephen, he loved them and prayed for them. Prayed that the Father would not hold them responsible and hold in charge what they were doing. Of course, not in their sins, but that they would be later brought to repentance and forgiveness.
Some
The Lord did that. Now that comes the real test of love, isn't it? Someone has done you in, so to speak. A little competition from some of my descendants here tonight. You can sing pretty good, can't you? All ours. But here's where the real test comes in. Someone has done you in, as we speak of it, and still you seek their highest good. Now, what you're talking about is that a lot of times people will treat you, we'll say, we'll treat you ugly, for want of a better way of expressing it, and then act like you ought not even take that into notice. Like nothing has happened. Well, what are you to do about it? How can you handle that? I'll tell you, if you live long enough, you'll meet some folks like that, won't you? You know, if you really love that man, of course, you're just a boy, you said. Okay. But then, you know, when a person, like he was told, shake the dust off of their feet and go on, that was not an unloving thing. Because there is such a thing, of course, as casting your pearls before swine. The word of God can be trampled underfoot. There's also the fact that they've already preached to them, a very loving effort, already preached to them the gospel. So, there can well come a time when you say, well, all right, this is as far as I can go, and therefore have to go on. That's not an unloving thing. But there is no question that you do not treat everybody just alike. You do not love everybody just alike. But you always seek what is their good. Now that's what Christian love is. Here's what the comment. Beg pardon? Oh yes, if you didn't have confidence that this was the right way, it'd be very hard to do, wouldn't it? Brother, yes, you need to go to the utmost limit. And that was the kind of love that our Lord manifested. By the way, Brother Byers said 23 words. I believe, now I may be wrong, you can check me out on this, but I believe there are 4 words in the Greek language that have been translated by love in the English language, but only 3 of those 4 appear in the Scripture. One word, eros, E-R-O-S, which is with reference to sexual love, and usually in an immoral sense in the Greek language, never appears in Scripture. That's, I think, rather significant. In no shape, form, or fashion does Scripture present. Is it too loud? Oh, well, no, what? Can you please, everybody, can you? The word eros, which has reference to, more often than not, illicit sexual behavior that is so mistakenly called love, that term is never used as love in Scripture. The Bible doesn't look upon that as love. Now, our songs do. Talk does. Conversations, stories. But not so with the Word of God. That is never a manifestation of love. How could one claim to be seeking the other's highest good when you're asking and soliciting them to do that which would damn their soul and yours? How could that possibly be love? All right, we're getting off the subject here a little bit. Any further comments? Yes, ma'am. No, go ahead. You had yours hand up first. Degrees of... All right. What about degrees of heaven? Now, there are obviously degrees of love that we're to have. Are we to have degrees of hate? Come on, don't let you stand up here. She's got a good question there. Are there degrees of hate? There are. There's your answer. Explain yourself. You hate some people enough, I guess, to kill them, wouldn't you? That'd be hate with a capital H, wouldn't it? You might hate other people enough, talk ugly about it. Yeah, well, you were supposed to do that. But we're talking about hating the people, aren't you? Degrees of hate. There are different objects of hate. The Lord hates some things, we're to hate. The Lord hates every evil way, we should hate every evil way. The Lord hates no person, we should hate no person. But the Christian, toward persons, is not to have hatred in any degree. Well, now that's true. Now how does that relate now to what we're talking about on hatred? Do you, if you stop an intruder into your house, is that a manifestation of hatred? More fear. All right. That you do hate his way and you hate for him to come in there. What was the best thing? If you loved him, what would be the best thing for you to do? If you had a gun in your hand. Reckon you could stand as bad as you would be? I've often thought, here's a man coming in the house, and I've got the gun. I'm supposed to have love toward him. What should I do? Well, if I have friends of mine, I'll stop him. I'll try to do it. Sort of kill him. I imagine I'd just stand there and be petrified, and they'd come and say, wonder how that fellow got in that shape. Not retaliation. Non-retaliation to his evil. Yes. To revenge, to get even. That would be an expression of love. It certainly would. It is so easy. So easy for us to sit here tonight in the confines of this building feeling quite secure and talk about what would you do if. Now, there are certain principles we would hope we could think of or have previously thought of to govern our responses, but really and truly, it'd be difficult to really know what to do. Yes, ma'am? All right. If of course, a kind word may not turn the murderer out, but sometimes people will get just start chewing you out, and sometimes no word at all. Yeah, sometimes just somebody just chew you out and just grin. Boy, that'll kill them. All right. Great, marvelous topic, this thing of Christian love. Any kind of comment, anyone, of not taking revenge? Yes, that's a passive omission, refusal to retaliate. I'll tell you one of the hardest things sometimes to do. Here's a man that's done you dirt. You got the goods on him and you know it. And you could claw him to ribbon. And then to not do it. I've been in that state, brother. And I didn't retaliate, and I didn't get revenge, but I could have eaten him alive. But I didn't. I'm glad I didn't. It'd been wrong for me to have done it. But who the devil was pushing your heart? But I resisted it. Some of you are laughing because you know you've been in the same boat. Don't get too self-righteous here. I don't see any halos blinking. Yes. Refusal to strike back is, it's not the most magnanimous expression of love, but I think it is an expression of doing what is good for the other. You do not wish to harm him like he has harmed you. Yes, I'd have to agree with it. But I think there are certain names that conjure up within me, certain, but you wouldn't do any harm to him. If you found her beside the road of an automobile wreck and had her bleeding there, you'd try to help her. You'd call the emergency squad. You'd even loan her a handkerchief. You'd get her a drink of water. You'd, No, you'd do good. You'd do good. I think we would. All of us would have that desire. Sure. Not to harm the other person. You asked me that once before, and I didn't know. It wasn't in class. It was one time privately. Go ahead, ask it again. Somebody here may know the answer. At 1 o'clock? No, sir. I don't care what happens at 1 o'clock. No, I know what you're saying. Does everybody understand what he's saying? Would we be rational, composed enough, under control sufficiently to really be able to act in an intelligent fashion, you reckon? Or, like Brother Byers said, out of fear, or spontaneously, or... I don't know, but there again, it's easy for us to sit here and talk about it, isn't it? I hope and pray that never happens to me, nor you. I believe I asked once before, has any of you ever encountered a situation like that, someone breaking into your home? There's that crazy cat you forgot to put out. Okay, yes. a deliberate choice that runs contrary to temptation. A deliberate choice to go the other way. Our Lord said, for if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same. If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? And this is in the context where he taught we are to love as God loved. That is even love I am. Well, I think that the spirit of the thing is non-retaliation, not that revenge, don't get even, good for others, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good, and such as that. Here you're riding right along. Here's somebody doing you dirt last week. Maybe on the job or somewhere or another got you in trouble just for meanness. They did you ugly. You're riding down the road and you recognize his pickup and you recognize he's got a flat. You wouldn't stop to help him? Now you just answer my question. Let's go have all that filibuster. We're not in the city.
I'm going to get to that.
You better stop. You better help him. He's got a sprained back and can't change it. You better change it. If he doesn't have a spare, you better put him in the truck and send him to the next place where he can get one. Don't you think? Anybody agree with that? I hate to take issue with you, Gordon. You're a good fella, but I just believe you need to help a fella because I believe you help him, he'll be very slow to do you dirt again. Boy, you run with a tough crowd. I see what you're trying to say. There's a possibility that they might take advantage of you again, but I have a hard time passing him up. Even though he might have done me wrong, I would sort of think that maybe if I helped him, he'd be, number one, possibly, he'd be sorry he ever did me wrong. Secondly, I think he'd be more reluctant to ever do me wrong again. Third, if he did, then he'd just mean as a snake. That wouldn't that be a case of heaping coals of fire on his head, picking him up and helping him with his tie? Yes, sir. It'd burn that enmity and hostility that he has for you out of him. That's what he'll do. You'll wonder why we don't cover much territory. Go ahead. If you stop, you need somebody riding with you to help you get my way of faith. All right, so how would anybody address that? Here you are. You're in a seedy neighborhood. Somebody needing trouble, or apparently needing trouble. Well, in our society, you really don't know, do you? That's a terrible sort of a thing. And I am sure that there are people who are in distress, who are bypassed by a lot of good, well-meaning people, who are just because of the climate of lawlessness in our society, are just scared to death to stop. And I think I'm one of them. You said go on down to the next exit and call back and tell them somebody down there is needing some help. That might be the safest thing to do. My son Bill was a bad one about that. When we lived in Jackson, Tennessee, and he was going to school in Knoxville, he'd help a stray dog. And word us to death. But I'll tell you, one night he was driving from Jackson to Knoxville. One right direction on us. And snow came real heavy going up around Cook Moon, crossing up that way. Well, the car was stuck out over there, Cook Moon. An elderly couple that already closed the road. How he was still on it, I don't know. That's my boy there. But they already closed the road. He was still going. He stopped and picked up that old couple and took them to shelter. Brought them where they next day get their car. Now, it's a good thing that he did. What if that hadn't been an old couple and then a couple of thugs, too? I look at the fools and children. Well, now, there's something else you have to take into consideration. I've tried to help the policeman, I believe. Well, that's true. You have to, but you got to use some discretion, you got to use some judgment, and you have posed, who wants to pose a question about stopping to someone along the way. Frankly, that's my personal thought, and I think I'm right. I don't think it's a very smart thing to do. I used to pick up hitchhiking all the time. Well, you couldn't make me slow up for one now.
You know, that would be hard to see a person in real distress and go on. Now, we're not talking about somebody that's in physical agony here. We're talking about somebody that's potentially maybe is in trouble. Those people, that man, raw, beaten and left for dead. There wasn't any question about him